would say, first of all, the coffee is my own.
I think there's nothing wrong with that.
Black coffee.
Think of the amount of money you're going to save making your own coffee.
Making my own coffee, making my own tea, doing it all myself. I'm saving what? What did we decide? $8,000 a year.
Well, no, I used to spend over $100 a month at Starbucks. Now, since the pandemic hit,
yep,
never go.
You know, wait a minute. This is my one chance to get out. Like now,
It's not that much. I would spend about $20 a day, 5 days a week, so $100 a week. I'd spend about $400 a month at Starbucks.
Now I drive to Starbucks because I got to get out of the house and I got to see the sun and all that stuff. And so I go and I get one of their little breakfast sandwiches for $3.50. So I'm still spending $3.50 a day
at
Starbucks.
No beverages at all.
That's okay. No beverages at all. I come home, drink my own coffee, drink my own tea.
See, that's smart. I think you're going to save a lot of money that way.
And I'll tell you, I got so much reaction from people yesterday on email and on Twitter about how you called me a poser.
Yes.
And people are like, why does Ireland not like, why does he not say thank you? Why does he not thank us for listening every day?
Okay, so let me see if I can explain it in a way that will make sense to you.
Okay.
You're better, and I think you would admit this, when you have your edge. There is nice guy, Mason.
Sure.
Which is how you kind of are when you're not on the show. You're a very nice guy. But on the show, you've always had an edge. And that's kind of been what drives the show and what drives you throughout your career.
Right.
Howard Stern would never, ever thank listeners. Max Kellerman not only wouldn't thank listeners, but when it comes up, what does Max say? You should be thanking me.
He starts the show by saying, hello, nerds.
Right. Thank you. You should be thanking me. Maybe another way that you would get my point is if I remember last week when you compared, you were talking about the dojos on Cobra Kai.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So there's Eagle Fang, there's Miyagi-Do, and then there is Cobra Kai.
Now, on the air, you said you are strike first, strike fast, no mercy.
Yeah, strike first, strike hard, no mercy. Exactly.
On the air, I would agree that's been you throughout your career. But the guy that thanks the listeners is the guy who paints fences. Does that make sense? Jorge, does that make sense to you?
Totally, man. I totally get it. I don't know why you don't get it, Mason.
So I should stop thanking people for listening.
If it's part of your, here's what I would say. If it's part of your routine, if it's part of your, what you like to call your wind-up, to kind of get you into the flow of the show, I think it is perfectly nice. It is fair to do it. But the guys who have real edge, the guys that you admire in this business, the guys who strike first, strike fast, no mercy, they ain't doing it. If you want to do it, though, I don't think it is in any way bad. I just think keep your edge.
I'm genuinely thanking people. My God, we need these people.
Okay, I agree.
We need them.
Okay, but I'll give you a couple more examples and maybe you'll get it. Chick Hearn, who's my mentor in the business, he said to me, he goes, I want you to remember something. The essence of being a professional is it doesn't matter who's listening. It doesn't matter if one person in their car on the freeway is listening to you or if 50 million people are listening to you. The true essence of professional is you do the exact same show no matter who's listening. It's irrelevant. You take care of that one guy in his car. You take care of that guy, and you're doing your job.
Well, let me tell you something. And with all due respect to Chick Hearn, who's a legend, if there is one person out there listening in his car and only one person,
we're
not going to be doing the show for very long.
So here's the last one I'll give. And then if you don't get it, you're just never going to get it.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, we went back to do First Take.
Right.
And I said to Amanda, I was scared to death. And you'll admit this too. There was once a time in your life where the most important thing in the world to you was getting on TV.
Oh, yeah.
You were dying. Matter of fact, when I suggested, hey, man, I really don't want to go back to Bristol, I realized you came back at me with, well, then things will never be the same.
I'll go do it with somebody else.
No, you said things will never be the same if you don't do this for me. And I went, holy.
Did I really?
Oh, wow. Yeah. You were, but I'd forgotten it was your driving force. At that time in your life, the only thing you wanted to mind, if Channel 11 called and you had been up all night, you would go in anyway.
I'd go anyway.
Thank goodness you're not that guy anymore. You've gotten that out of your system. But back then, I was talking to, I called Amanda and I went, Amanda, I'm going to get TV Mace. TV Mace doesn't have an edge. TV Mace dresses up and worries about his hair. It's like the exact opposite of what the good Mason is. And I said, okay, I got a plan. And you, I remember you had laid out all your clothes the night before. You were very serious. And
yes,
you walked into the studio and you had a coat and tie on. And I walked in and I didn't have a tie. And I was goofing around with the stage manager. And I sat down and you said, 30 seconds before the air, you said, John, what are you doing? Where's your tie? And I went, I'm not wearing one. I don't want to be formal. And you went, well, I'm wearing one. I go, yeah, but I don't want that guy. I don't want TV Mace. And do you remember what you did?
Oh, yeah. I took that tie off and threw
on
it on the stage floor
the
during
off,
the show.
Threw it on the floor, and you were great the whole week. That's Mace with an edge. So if you can thank the listeners, I think it's perfectly good and honest and fine. But don't lose your edge. Does that make
all
sense?
Right. I'm keeping my edge.
Wait, now that you're done explaining, John, did you just compare yourself to Howard Stern?
No, I
and
said
Max Kellerman?
I compared Mason to Howard Stern and Max Kellerman. Those are two people he admires. Those guys would never thank the listeners. As a matter of fact, Max makes a point of insulting the listeners.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. All right, so anyways, thank you very much for being out there. Thank you very much for listening. We appreciate you. Without you guys, we'd not be able to do this dumb show every day. So there you have it. I'm going to say it from time to time anyway, despite your talk. So tonight, enormous night. This
is
one of those games.
Wait a minute. Before you even mention that it's Lakers-Nets, did you get in?
Oh, okay. So I still
left the show yesterday, Mason. Mason, who has not left his house during the pandemic.
Yeah, I've
been like, I'm going out to dinner and playing golf, and I'm doing. Mason is like locked in.
Yep.
But you said for this you would leave the house. If for this, if you could get a seat, you would go. What is the latest?
Here is the truth. I did not even request it because I just don't feel smart about it.
Yep, that's what I thought you would do.
I don't feel smart about going out. I've been so careful. And I'm so close to getting the vaccine that I just don't want to do it. So I would imagine that if I requested nicely, I probably could get into the game. But, you know, part of it, John, and you can speak to this. Part of it must feel like you're not even really at a game because there's none of the hoopla. There's none of the crowd. There's none of that cheering. There's none of that, you know, those streamers dropping at the end of the game. Like, none of that stuff that you would get at a game is actually at a game. And so I don't feel like it is worth it.
It is a surreal experience. And Michael and I say this on the air. I think it's great that we're playing. Thank God, because it's keeping so many of my friends and me employed.
Yep.
And we're getting to, you know, do our jobs. But it is not the same without the fans. It will never be the same without the fans. And I know for a fact that there are meetings, conversations, and emails every single day in the Laker offices trying to figure out a way to get the fans back in a healthy and safe way. They are communicating with the governor. They're communicating with the CDC. They're communicating with everybody. It is priority one is to keep everybody. Well, I shouldn't say priority one. Priority one is to keep everyone safe and healthy.
Right.
Priority two is find a way to get those same people back into the building. It's not the same, Mace. It's you would go, you'd walk out and you'd go, huh, glad I got to go. It's a different
experience. Cool to get out of the house.
Yeah, it's a different experience. But every one of us that's working, I can assure you, is wanting, hoping, and praying for the fans to come back. It's not the same experience.
Has anybody ever thought of putting a, like, not, you know, like they use a laugh track on really bad TV shows?
Yeah.
Has anybody thought about putting a crowd track in?
The NFL did. They did
the
it the
NFL
whole year.
Did, yeah.
Did you not notice? Done?
Yeah, no, I did. Has the NBA thought about doing it?
I don't know if they're doing it or not. I'll ask the Spectrum guys tonight if they're putting crowd noise in the background. I wouldn't blame them if they did. As I've said to you a million times, sports are a TV show.
Yeah.
What you're doing is you're providing entertainment to the guy sitting at home watching TV.
And by the way, and part of that entertainment is the crowd. Part of that entertainment
100%.
Is, I forget the name of that guy who has the signs. Who's the guy that's got the name of the signs?
Gary Martin.
Yeah, he's great. I mean, that's part of, like, being at a game. It's seeing the celebrities courtside. It's seeing everybody cheer. It's seeing everybody chant. That's, like, the huge part of being at a game. And that's also part of it on TV, is seeing all that, those cutaways to the crowd and this guy crying and this guy laughing and this guy cheering and this guy booing. Like, that's a huge part of the TV experience too. So it is weird. It is surreal. By the way, is tonight a TNT game?
It is. TNT exclusive.
Get Barkley and all those guys.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll say this too, and you know this, that going to a Laker game, and I know a lot of you out there have never had a chance to go to a game, but going to a Laker game is a quintessential LA experience.
It is.
If you came, like you, Mace, or you, Lindsay, you moved out here from Ohio, and if you were going to tell me, hey, I'm going to give LA a try, I'm going to stay out here for a year, at least in the top five list of things to do, I would tell you, go to a Laker game in person.
Yep.
And go to the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah,
those
two
are
things.
Two quintessential
I would
LA
say, and
experience.
Go to see a game at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah. I mean, and Dodger Stadium is really, like,
that's beautiful.
It's a trip back to the 50s.
It's
super cool. But, and there's a million other things you could do that I think are worth doing. But those two things, like going to a Laker game, I heard somebody explain it to me. Before I worked for the Lakers, I did games for the Clippers. And, you know, they're in the same building. They're all in the Staples Center. But when I got hired by the Lakers and I was doing stuff for the Lakers, and I was talking to somebody else that had the same background, used to work for the Clippers, now works for the Lakers kind of thing. They said going to a Clipper game is just a game. Going to a Laker game is an event. You know, it's lit differently. The people you see are different.
Yep.
The experience is different. The feeling is different. It's just when you're inside, looking up at all the retired numbers and the banners, which is, by the way, why I think the Clippers finally covered them up.
Yeah,
they couldn't
get
out from under the shadow.
Yep.
And I think that's one of the main reasons the Clippers are moving out of Staples Center. They're just like sick of me and the
They don't have their own identity. They're in somebody else's building.
Right. There's no retired anything Clippers in that building. Not
right.
One thing. Not even Ralph. Not even Ralph Lawler. I mean, nobody. So there's no signature that says Clippers anywhere on that
right.
building.
Right.
But the Lakers are, you know, you're going to the place where Shaq and Kobe and you know, all these guys built Staples Center, and it's great, and we'll get the fans back eventually. I don't know if it'll be this year, but I'm cautious.
I think it's going to be there.
I'm cautiously optimistic. Some fans maybe.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've said this, once I get my two shots, I'm going to live my best life. You know, I'm still going to wear a mask and do all that stuff, but I'm going to go places, I'm going to do things, I'm going to go to restaurants, I'm going to do all that stuff. I've got an irrational fear of it, but I have a fear of it, and I don't want to get it. I've lost a couple of friends to it, completely lost, dead. So I am going to be very, very careful. So that's why I opted not to go to it. And it sounds like it's not the full experience anyway. It's weird and it's surreal and all
that
stuff.
It is, but I'm more excited about tonight than I've been about any game so far this year because, and Lindsay, you know this. The Kyrie LeBron thing is an interesting dynamic. It's kind of a psychiatrist's dream. You know, I'm sure LeBron feels that he was a big brother to Kyrie, that he helped Kyrie get his only title. And Kyrie feels that he's the younger sister in a league of their own that never gets enough attention and never gets in.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say this, John, because coming up next, we've actually got what Kyrie said about LeBron this year and what LeBron said about Kyrie. Plus,
oh,
we're going to take some of your phone calls. 877-710-ESPN. Who is this a bigger game for, LeBron or Kyrie, is an interesting question. Also, I am not a believer in the Nets. I think in the end, you've got to play a little defense to win. In the end, you can't just throw superstars on the court and expect all the pieces to fit well. John says he's taking the Brooklyn Nets to go to the finals.
Preview tonight.
Are you a Nets believer? 877-710-ESPN. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN. And let me tell you about John Patterson and OC Mazda. Now, you know, I've driven a Mazda for years now. John is just an all-round great dude. They've won all kinds of customer service awards over there at his two dealerships, which is Tustin Mazda in the Tustin Auto Center, Huntington Beach Mazda on the Beach Boulevard of Cars. Customer service is their thing. Incredibly nice people. They support their community. They treat everybody with respect. And they've got amazing offers right now on the entire lineup of Mazda SUVs everybody is raving about. For example, during the President's Day event, you can lease a brand new Mazda CX-30 for just $179 a month or get 0% financing for up to 60 months. Plus, $500 customer cash on the flagship SUV, the Mazda CX-9. Two locations, like I mentioned, great inventory, twice the inventory. Tustin Mazda, Tustin Auto Center, Huntington Beach Mazda, Beach Boulevard of Cars. Check them out at ocmazda.com for details. At OC Mazda, it is really all about you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. You know, the truth.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Truth is, that's all I ever wear are logoed shirts. Morales,
you know what,
is
you know
wrong.
What I
that's
did?
Not posing.
I moved all my suits into storage.
Did you really?
Yep.
You're not wearing suits when you do the game now?
I am not.
What are you wearing?
Wearing a collared shirt and a pair of slacks.
Really?
Yeah, there's no TV.
It's casual.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's casual. Yeah, no, that's all I wear is stuff with logos on it. Ram stuff, Dodger stuff, Laker stuff, Trojan stuff. That's
don't blame
all,
you.
That's all I wear.
My sweatpants are getting a pretty serious rotation these
I
days.
Bet. I bet.
Do you think if I showed up in my sweats, the Lakers would care?
Sounds like no.
I don't think so, Michael.
Yeah. Because nobody sees us. We're just up there in our booth and we run
and
into
and you have
no
some
one.
Pretty nice sweats. Are you wearing sweats now?
Yeah.
And then what do you? When do you change?
I used to change in the car before the game.
Yeah, I don't
and
think
you dress
they...
up?
No.
You're dressing up for these games?
Very casual, like a polo shirt or pullover, like a mock turtle and jeans.
Well, that sounds nice.
Yeah.
Michael, just like the parking space thing yesterday or the other day, nobody's going to call you out for wearing sweatpants because they don't want it to turn into a race thing.
Really?
Yeah.
By the way, Mike, did you ever get in trouble for parking in the Herbalife spot the
no.
night I did?
No, and I never parked there under normal circumstances, but with no one in the garage, you park there now.
Yeah. So that in, if you're deciding who's a jerk in that scenario, it's the other guy's the jerk.
Yeah,
right?
the other guy's the jerk.
The guy that ratted me out.
Why, did you bring this up yesterday and Mace call you a jerk?
No, he agreed.
No.
He agreed the other guy was a
I
jerk.
I think the Herbalife people are
yeah.
jerks.
I mean,
were there that many parking spots?
Yeah, folks listening to us, there are three cars down there, and it's like 150 parking spaces. It's like, who would complain about that?
Yeah.
We're the only ones here.
Okay, I want to play a couple things here. Michael Thompson's hanging out with us today, which is always
yep.
fun.
Michael, this is about LeBron and Kyrie. You'll like this.
Oh, yeah.
Earlier this year, Kyrie was on KD's Boardroom podcast, and listen to what he said.
10 seconds left. 1-point game. Who's shooting? You or Kyrie, KD?
Depends on who's hot. I don't see it as anything other than that. Like, 1-3 pick and roll, or it's an ISO for either one of us, or it's something great for our team. One thing I've always been comfortable with is, you know, I felt like I was the best option on every team I played for, you know, down the stretch. This is the first time in my career where I could look down and be like, that can make that shot too.
Now, isn't that a shot at LeBron? This is the first time in my career that I feel like I've got somebody else who could make the effing shot.
Yeah,
well,
of course it is, but you want that. You want him to believe that, right, Michael?
I don't think it's a shot at LeBron because LeBron obviously can make clutch shots, but Kyrie is a better shooter than him, and Kyrie probably feels, I'm the better shooter, so I'll take the shot. But in this instance, Kevin Durant's a better shooter, so he doesn't mind deferring to Durant. But he's not saying that LeBron can't make the shot. He's just saying that he's a better shooter than LeBron. He'd rather take it.
Okay, so LeBron did take this somewhat personally. He was on the Road Trippin' podcast, and here's what he said.
When I heard the comment that Kyrie made, I wanted to, one, not only find the whole transcript, but also call my people, send me the whole transcript, and and I heard he had did it on Katie's podcast. And I was a little like, damn. Once I got the whole transcript, I was like, damn. You know, I wasn't like, oh, you tripping. I hit game-winning shots. I was not like that. I was like, damn, because you were there for a couple seasons. I mean, I played with Kyrie for 3 seasons. The whole time while I was there, I only wanted to see him be an MVP of our league. I only cared about his success. And it just didn't align. Yeah. It just didn't align. And we was able to win a championship.
Yeah.
That's the craziest thing. We were still able to win a championship, and we could never align, but I only cared about his well-being, both on and off the floor. And it kind of hurt me a little bit.
Well, there you go. Everybody reacts differently. I don't think Kyrie was wrong. He is a better shooter than LeBron. That's all he's saying. That's like when Clay, he gets it, my son, because Clay, to me, is one of the 3 greatest shooters that ever played the game.
Okay, agreed.
I know I'm biased, okay? But even Clay said, this is the first time in his career he's been on a team that someone could shoot it better than him. So if he can accept that, you know, somebody else should be able to
say,
But you don't
view that as a shot at LeBron, because LeBron obviously views it as a shot because spent a minute talking about it.
Yeah, because LeBron thinks I'm a clutch shooter too, which he is. LeBron's a clutch shooter too.
And I mean, give me LeBron making that run in the fourth quarter. Are you kidding me? He takes over a game and wins it.
But you know what, though? In those Cleveland series, and I watched for a couple of years, I was more nervous down the stretch when Kyrie was getting ready to take the shot. Even though I knew LeBron could make it, I was more worried when Kyrie had the ball. Because that guy...
more of a pure scorer.
Yeah, he's more of a pure shooter than LeBron is. Even though I know LeBron's clutch, too. I'm not taking anything away from him. And he worried me, too, and scared me, too. But Kyrie, I was more worried about him, as he saw in Game 7 when he made that shot to win the series.
Shot in Cleveland Cavs history.
Cleveland alert.
Hey, Michael, who's this a bigger game for tonight, LeBron or Kyrie?
That's a great question. Probably LeBron, since he doesn't have AD, but then again, they don't have KD, but we do have JD. So I tweeted that yesterday.
Who, Jared Dudley?
Exactly.
Yeah. he will play a key role tonight.
Yeah, Michael. He might. He just might. But I think it's bigger for LeBron, since we're in L.A. He can't let Kyrie come into his building and put his feet up on his table and take over his house.
All right, what's great is when I see Jared Dudley on the floor, it means we won.
Well, either that or a blowout loss.
Or we've lost badly. You're right. The game is over. Right. Hey, John, today, because I'm in a great mood, and I still have an edge, but I'm in a great mood.
Good.
So everybody that calls and gets on the air and talks about this game or whatever we're talking about, you get a Mason and Ireland t-shirt.
Do we have like a triple XL so we can give one to Michael?
Yeah.
I don't think we have a Mason and Ireland t-shirt that will fit Michael.
I'd love to have
Michael.
One. I'd be honored
we may
to
have
wear
one
it.
That fits Julie, though.
Yeah, she'd wear it. She loves you guys.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Mike in Whittier. Hey, Mike, you're on 710 ESPN. Is this a bigger game for LeBron or Kyrie?
I want to say LeBron, just for one reason that, you know, there was a lot of shame put on his name from Kyrie, which, yeah, Kyrie is a little brother, but unfortunately you can never make sure that the big brother is disrespected like that. And then on top of that, like Michael just said, you know, it's in LeBron's house. He ain't trying to make him come over here and do all that work and then lose. Secondly, though, John, I thought you were going to be the speaker of the Lakers when our good friend Chick Hearns passed away. I always thought John Ireland would be with Stu. You know, man, your voice and everything.
Well, that's very nice of you, and it's a very nice compliment. But Bill McDonald and I grew up together. We both grew up in the same hometown. We feel very lucky that we both get to do it. And, you know, my background's in radio, Bill's background's in TV. So we're kind of co-piloting the Chick Hearn Express.
Your voice is legendary, though, man.
Oh, that's
just
very
like
nice
that.
Of you to say. Thanks, man. And hang on, Mike. Yeah. We'll get
hang
to
on.
Mason
we're
going to
give you a Mason
t-shirt.
And Ireland t-shirt.
But, Michael, don't you think that – I think Kyrie has more to prove. Like, LeBron has nothing to prove anymore. He's been to 10 finals. He's won titles as the best player in 3 different cities. Kyrie – 1-1 with LeBron, then he kind of flamed out in Boston. Now he's going to Brooklyn, and there's been some bumps in the road there. I think Kyrie has more to prove than LeBron.
By the way, no question about it. I mean, LeBron is LeBron. Yeah. Kyrie is the guy who said, I want my own team. That's why I went out of Cleveland. I mean, Kyrie's on the spot right now. This is a game that he wants, and he's going to have more at stake right now than LeBron.
Not so much for this game, but for this season. You guys are right.
For the season,
he's
sure.
got to win this year. Now he's teamed up with Harden and KD. He better win this year.
Man, Michael, can you imagine if we get this for the finals?
Oh, but we got to have the media and the fans back in the building. We have to by that
time. I think it's going to happen. I think it's going to happen.
I was just talking about that with Mace, that Michael, Mason was thinking about coming tonight, and then he thought better of it, and I told him that it's a completely different feel, experience. I love doing the games, and I'm so happy that we get to do them, but without the fans, it's hard to explain how disappointing it is.
It's like being at Fleming's, ordering a delicious steak with no ketchup. I mean,
ketchup at Fleming's. They're not going to serve you ketchup at Fleming's.
Oh, but Michael will have a spare bottle in his coat pocket.
Exactly. I bring it in.
I don't go to Fleming's because we had a terrible dinner meeting at Fleming's one time with our bosses, Bob Kuntz and Larry Gifford.
They said, hey, let's take you guys out to dinner. And they sat us down. They said, we want to fire Dave Singer.
Oh,
It was the night before the NBA Finals Game 7, Celtics and Lakers. And we were like, I'm out of here. You take that friggin' New York yourself.
You left the dinner?
Walked out.
Wow.
We absolutely walked out.
You too, Ireland? You left out too?
Yeah, we couldn't because we didn't know what to do about Dave. I mean, he had been with us for 15 years, and you know, we've considered him part of our team.
And did they fire Dave anyway?
No, they backed off.
Wow. They backed off.
How about that?
Yeah, all you got to do is walk out of dinner, kids. That's the way you get out of a big decision. All right, coming up next for you, our friend Dan Wyke is going to be here from the LA Times. It is a huge day, a huge night in Los Angeles. Great showdown between what John thinks will be a preview of the
NBA
Finals.
Me too.
I'm taking the field. John and Michael are taking Brooklyn. I like the field.
What do you think of the East could beat Brooklyn?
I like Philly.
He's got a point with Philly, Michael. If Embiid gets hot, they could trip the net.
Yeah, I love Philly. All right, coming up next for you, Dan Wyke is going to join us, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, what's going on? Hey, tonight is a big night at Staples Center, big night in Los Angeles. It is LeBron James and the Lakers versus James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and the Brooklyn Nets. And I thought today is a good day to bring our friend Dan Wyke from the LA Times on the show. Dan, what are you doing, man?
I'm getting ready for the game the way that any seasoned reporter would by, you know, you pet the dog a little bit, you have a nice little lunch, and then you grab a nap.
What kind of dog do you got?
Wait, Mace, you've asked this at least four times. Mr. B. Arthur, he's talked about his dog.
Oh, Mr. B. Arthur. Yeah, I have a very short memory.
He was on Spectrum last night, but guys. He was wearing a tuxedo.
Now, that's very impressive. And Mace, seriously, I'm beginning to wonder about your memory loss.
Well, I do use cannabis, and from time to time. Things get blotted out in my mind. So I forgot you had a dog. I forgot the name. But when reminded, I know Mr. B. Arthur is your dog.
It's just like some blurred edges is all.
There you go.
Yeah, blurred edges. I'm faded.
That's a good way.
I'm faded a lot of the time.
Dan, settle a debate. We may have asked you this before, but I'm convinced even more now, more than ever, they've won four in a row. Even though they played little to no defense, I think if the Nets are healthy tonight, what you and I are going to see tonight at Staples Center is a preview of the NBA Finals. Mason says you can't play zero defense and make the finals. He's riding with the Sixers or somebody else from the East. What if you had to put your prediction in a lockbox today, who's in the finals?
Yeah, I mean, I would pick these two teams, and I think it's because of kind of just like the simplest sort of playoff adage, right, is you take the teams with the best players. Like the top line talent, right? And I think you know the way it usually goes, guys, right? Is when you pick a playoff series, the easy way to pick a playoff series is always you take the team that has the best player, right? And that usually carries you. How many series are these teams going to play where they have the two best players, or maybe even sometimes in the Nets' case, the three best players? And I think ultimately, you know, they'll be a better defensive team. you know, in June or July or whenever the finals are, I think they'll be a little bit better because they've been together longer.
Yeah, but what leads you to believe that? These guys have never been motivated to play defense. These guys, I mean, KD, you know, is super long, and you can argue, you can definitely, he's the best defender of the three, but I mean, Harden and Kyrie.
Well, I mean, look, I think one, right, like we know they'll add better defensive players along the way. Like we know both these teams aren't done. In terms of kind of what'll come their way via buyout market, certainly one. And you would think that Brooklyn won't target another guy who just shoots a bunch and doesn't play defense. Like I would think they've got those guys. So you know, you would think they would look to somebody who could help them on the defensive end. And I just think that, like, in general, right? Like as games get better, as games get more important, you get a little higher of an effort level from guys, and that defense will tick up. The one thing that you can replace, and that you can never deal with, even, and this is what I think is kind of what will be one of the stories to watch tonight, is like, I mean, we all know this, like, I mean, good offenses, you know, trump good defense most nights. If everything is clicking, like, you know, you just can't, the talent is too good that it's too hard to stop, you know, a Kevin Durant or a Kyrie Irving or a James Harden if they're like really, really going, or LeBron James or Anthony Davis. And so I'm really interested to watch the Laker defense go up against what's just been an offensive juggernaut to see if they can slow it down somehow, because they're not going to get tested like this that often.
Well, and to your point, Dan, this is the number one defensive efficiency team in the league, the Lakers, against the number one offensive efficiency team, the Nets. So obviously if the score is down, if the score at halftime is 49-45, the Lakers are going to be elated. I think it's going the other way.
Yeah.
I think the final of this game tonight without overtime will be something like 130 to 125. What do you think?
Yeah, no overtime, John.
But let's just be said,
in a world where I still operate on deadlines, let's move this along. Let's figure out a way to get a running clock at some point tonight. I think you're right. And I mean, I think it comes at a great time for the Lakers offense in some way to kind of see this sort of, I don't know, like a team that has like the resistance of sort of like a soaked newspaper. because they need to get going offensively. They have shot the ball largely pretty awfully for the
especially
last 2+ weeks.
Yeah.
They need a bunch of different guys to kind of get into rhythm, I think. There was a little bit of that against Minnesota. I think Dennis Schroeder's aggressiveness was a really welcome sight. They're going to need more of that. They're going to need more of a Montrezl Harrell game. I think even more shot attempts. I'd like to see that number even get up higher. I know he went to the line 6 times, but, you know, he's a guy that they can get, I think, the ball to more, especially against kind of a soft interior that Brooklyn has. If the Lakers get into the 120s, win or lose, I think it'll just be good because they've got a lot of guys that need to see the ball go through the basket.
So, you know, I like to, when you're on the show, Dan, hit you with something that's really controversial, you know, a real hot button issue.
Okay.
So here it is for today.
Should I contact my lawyers? Let me get my lawyers.
No, not yet. Not yet.
Maybe.
Okay.
So my 78-year-old mom, Donna, is moving in with her 80-year-old boyfriend, not stepdad Leo. And I am somewhat uncomfortable with this because technically they will be living in sin. At the same time, if they get married, Leo will probably be my actual stepdad. What do you think is the best case scenario?
In those two?
I mean,
is Leo a nurturing man?
Leo is fantastic. I've met Leo on multiple occasions. Mace is underselling the strong point of Donna being able to bag Leo. Leo's great.
Wait a minute. Leo bagged my mom. Don't say that.
Oh, I didn't say your mom wasn't great. I think they're great together. Mace, I don't know why you're, not to jump your answer, Dan, but Mace, I don't know why you're in any way uncomfortable with this. This is fantastic.
Because I'm 56 years old and I don't want a stepdad, and I'm afraid the next step is that they're walking down the aisle, and I'm going to have to be the one to walk my mom down the aisle and all that stuff.
It doesn't hurt you.
How do you plan a wedding for people with 158 years combined of miles on the treads?
You make it make it short.
You do it fast. You do it fast is the answer. You're right.
Get it while it lasts. Exactly.
Not a lot of standing,
Like, you limit the standing, a lot of, like, really easily digestible foods, and you just get in and get out.
Listen, you know how many people are lonely in this world, Mason?
Yeah. You want the applesauce or the pudding? It's not chicken or steak. You want the applesauce or the pudding?
It's applesauce. Yeah. A or B.
We've got your choice. We've got your choice of Ensure flavors.
Yes. And enjoy the soup. Soup is also good.
This is elder abuse, this whole segment. It's ridiculous. So, all Dan, right, who wins tonight?
I think Leo. I think the answer.
That is a fantastic.
I don't know, guys. Guys, I don't know. It's you know, I'll lean Brooklyn because they've got 66% of their superstars, opposed to the Lakers having 50%. But it's a big game, you know, and big games are fun. And I think, like, we're doing something over at the Times tonight where we've got a group of people that are going to do, like, a chat together, including former Laker Andre Ingram, which will be really fun.
Oh,
I love
guy.
Andre. He's such a,
yeah, great guy.
Such a great dude. And, like, his insight on this will be great. But, you know, it would be obviously it'd be way more fun if, you know, everybody was there, right? And you could, like, really call this, like, a true measuring stick game. To me, what I'll be looking forward to is, in addition to kind of like the basketball-y, like sort of offense defense, is just like, I don't know, isn't LeBron just super fun when you put a challenge in front of him?
Yeah.
And like, you know, whether it's Kyrie talking about how he's finally playing with guys, whether to take, you know, like take shots at the end of games and stuff, you know, this will be the first time that LeBron has played Kyrie since those comments. It'll be the first time he's seen James Harden in that slimming black Nets jersey, which has looked made him look much more fit, which has been great. And I think, like, I mean, Harden's played awesome.
Who else is on this live chat?
Yeah, I just got a text from Lindsay. Oh, yeah, supposed to have you guys ask him about the live chat he's doing for LA Times.
I actually worked at it. So we've got all our columnists, Helene Elliott, Dylan Hernandez, Bill Plaschke, myself, Brad Turner, Andre Ingram. Who else is going to do it? Amy Nicholson, the great film critic in Los Angeles, who's a big Lakers fan, is going to jump on. And Dan Bailey, who is a Lakers fan and also plays drums for Father John Misty. So it's like kind of a weird cross-section of people. And I'm going to talk some Lakers. And if you want, it's latimes.com. And the best way to ask us questions is we have that texting service. Sign up for that, and you can text me, and I'll pass questions on to everybody.
All right, cool. My invitation must have got lost in the mail.
No, Mace, you should text a very tough question for Dan and the crew.
Oh, I'm going to do that. I'm going to tune into this.
It better not be harder than the one you asked me 10 minutes ago about your mother moving in with some man. Like, they're like...
Yeah, throw that out to the group.
I don't know that we want to see get on Andre's opinion on that.
Exactly.
Who knows? We'll see. If it's not a close game, we might work it in.
Okay. Hey, listen, Dan, thanks for coming on. Thanks for goofing around with us. We appreciate it. Big night tonight. Thanks for talking about it, and we'll tune into your live chat tonight.
In the words of Mark Wahlberg, say hello to your mother for me.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you.
Mace text a tough question. When has Mace ever asked a tough question?
Oh, here he comes, the Bahamian grill.
Did you not hear this question?
About your mother?
Yeah, about my mom.
You're just being a little helicopter son.
What do you mean a helicopter son? My mom's 78 years old.
Yes.
I'm leaving her to this 80-year-old man I barely know.
You know what I say? Good for her.
That's right. They could give you advice on life, Mace. Leave her alone.
What if they get married? Does that make him my stepdad? Because
yes,
I don't know. I'm too old. I'm 56 years old. I don't want a stepdad.
Get used to calling him Pop.
Pop.
Hey, Pop.
Poppy.
Poppy. All right, you know.
Coming up next for you, this is actually a good one for you, Michael. Deion Sanders is changing the culture of Jackson State football in a new kind of way.
Ooh.
Plus, I got another email from Dora, the medium, about tonight's game.
Excellent. You know, Michael, this medium that Mason's been communicating with is two for two in the last Laker game.
I've been listening. I've been hearing.
So we've got that coming up for you, too. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Say hi to your mother for me.
There you go. What's going on? It's we're getting ready for the big game tonight. We got it for you here on 710 ESPN. And, of course, pregame, Spock and the Jock. We'll start at what time are you starting tonight? 5:30, Michael?
Game's at 5:30, yeah, so we'll be on
No, game's at 7. You started
at 5:30, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Saturday.
All right, so Deion Sanders is changing the culture at Jackson State football. Remember, Deion is now the head coach for Jackson State.
Yeah, I think, Michael, would it be hyperbole if I say Deion Sanders was the best defensive back I've ever seen in person?
That's by far. There's no one come close to him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so, Jalen Ramsey's pretty good. But
no, he ain't no Deion.
He's changing the culture in an unusual way. He was absolutely disgusted by the Jackson State football bathrooms.
Huh?
So he put up two signs. One says, if your aim is off, do the split. Just hit the water, fellas. Coach Prime. The other says, treat this toilet like your mama got next. Coach Prime. You know, I am the worst when it comes to this. I have terrible, terrible aim.
You need to be in front of a trough.
A trough, yeah. A trough is easy. Like when I go to a Rams game and you've got that big trough, that's super easy. But a toilet is a very small target for me to hit. I am
what about a
bit of a mess.
What about a urinal for a guy standing next to you? You're not going to splash him, are you?
No, I'm not that bad.
partially for that reason, Michael, when you go like tonight, when you go into the bathroom, if there's an open stall, even if I'm just urinating, I'll go in the open stall
too.
So I don't have people standing next to me.
Yeah, you don't want to see a guy take a glance to the left or right, you know. Yeah.
I feel like this is a TMI conversation.
Yeah, so I made a compromise at my house. I will tell you because I was having issues.
We're letting you into the man's room, Lindsay.
Yeah.
Great. Like, I really want to go there.
You know, if you identify as a man, you can go in and join us.
Stop.
All right.
That's
so
true.
I have been made to sit down all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
You sit down to pee?
Yep.
You're like Larry David.
Wait, have you, Mace, have you your whole life?
No, I was made to do it.
Why?
Because I have terrible aim.
Really?
Terrible aim. So now I have no choice. Wow. Now I have no choice.
That is a good solution to that problem.
But doesn't that take away some of your manlihood?
Yes, it does. It does. But it's manhood
but
that
Nobody's
I'm willing
watching.
To sacrifice for the sake of the for the sake of Juan.
Lindsay,
for
would you date
Juan.
Lindsay? Would you date a guy who, if he sat down to go and
nope,
you wouldn't.
But that's okay because Mace is gay, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Hey,
well,
no, I'm just saying I wouldn't date a guy because of that. So you know, it doesn't matter though.
Would you not date a guy because of it?
Yeah, I would think it was kind of weird. That's just weird. Is that a thing?
I've never heard of it from guys.
Yeah, I have no choice at this house. I have no choice.
I don't think there's anything bad. I mean, I think Juan came up with a pretty good solution to that.
No, it's a good solution. It's good for him.
Well, this sets up Michael and Mace, you've heard this joke, but Lindsay, you may not. This sets up the oldest urinal joke in the book, and that is the guy walks into a urinal at an arena one night, and he looks over to his right, and this guy is so in love with his girlfriend that her name is Wendy.
Okay.
So he had her name tattooed on his appendage.
Yeah.
All right. And so when he's just in a normal state, all it says is WY. And when he is aroused, you can see Wendy. So it's a very, very.
I can't believe we're doing this.
It's a very, very, you know, unique homage.
Yes.
So one day this guy walks in next to him at the urinal. And this guy's eyes wander and he looks over to the right and he sees the exact same thing. And the guy next to him has WY. And he can't believe it. And he looks up at the guy and goes, I thought I was the only one crazy enough to do this. Your girlfriend's name must be Wendy. And the guy says, no. It says, welcome to Jamaica. Have a nice day. Oh.
Was the guy black?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so that was that.
Oh, my goodness.
You never heard that joke, Jorge?
No, man.
Never heard that joke.
That's a good one.
Never heard that joke. All right,
Welcome to Jamaica.
I have been communicating with a medium.
Oh, I want to hear this.
Okay, so her name is Dora, and she says she lives in St. Louis, Missouri, and she listens to us on the stream.
Hi, Dora.
So she's 2 for 2 so far on these picks, and she wrote me this morning.
Dear now, you asked her to come on the show, right? Is this in response
she
to
She
you?
Addresses that. She okay. addresses that. Dear sweet spirit Steve Mason, I bring you blessings from all that is connected to the voices of the universe. It's a lot of mumbo jumbo. I hear you questioning my loving, guided advice. I understand your skepticism, although I sense your deep spirituality, and the spirits tell me that you are not the cynic you portray on the radio broadcasts. I think you sense deeply in your heart and in your psyche, you know that I am a real person. That is absolutely not true. I don't necessarily believe this is a real person.
Well, you think it's a person, but you think you're being catfished.
Correct. I'm not a regular user of the World Wide Web, so I was not familiar with the idea of catfishing. I can assure you that I am who I tell you that I am. Since a little girl, I heard voices. Early in my life, I kept this to myself, thinking that nobody would understand. But in my early 20s, I tuned into those voices, and since then, I have learned how to use my gifts to the benefit of others. Now here she talks about coming on the show. I appreciate your invitation to appear on the Mason and Ireland show, but I don't want to be the object of ridicule, as the spirits would be deeply unsettled if I put my gifts before the world in judgment. I am especially uncomfortable with the sarcasm from Mr. Ireland and Miss Fullman.
Fullman?
Fullman. I believe she's referencing Lindsay Fulton.
Lindsay's last name is Fulton.
Fulton.
Yeah, okay.
But if the spirits allow me to, at some future date, I will oblige this request. As for Thursday night's game versus the Brooklyn Nets, I am in fear from my beloved Los Angeles Lakers.
Ooh.
They are without Mr. Davis, and the team from Brooklyn may overwhelm those in purple and gold. If you should choose to wager your so-called mythical money on this game, and I never encourage betting even with imaginary money, you best not risk any of it on my beloved Lakers. Connected to it all and in the deepest service of the world, sending you love and light and beauty this day, with deepest humility for all of my gifts, I wish you many blessings. Dora, St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay. Now, Mace, I have a question, and I want you to promise just one thing that you will answer in 100% honesty, okay?
100% honesty, yes.
All right, now before you answer,
yep.
I want Lindsay, Jorge, and Michael to weigh in.
Okay.
Because I just had a light bulb go off.
Okay.
Lindsay, Jorge, Michael, I just realized that I think Mason invented Dora. I think there is no Dora.
Aww.
I think he literally, because Dora speaks like Mace writes.
Don't weigh in yet.
Jorge, do you believe that Mason made Dora up, or is Dora an actual person that's emailing Mason?
I think he's making it up, and
all
he's
right.
throwing the catfish as a
as
way,
a, as,
yeah,
a, as a yeah
exactly.
as a like Michael, what do you think? Real or fake?
I think it's real, and ask Mace to send you a copy of the email.
All right,
I will.
Lindsay, do you think Mason made the whole thing up, or
no,
is it real?
I think it's too.
Weird.
What's the word? I think it's too clever for Mace.
Boy, Mason's taken a beating last couple of days.
Yeah.
I called him a poser. You called him stupid. Mace.
Not
all right,
clever.
Michael, that's a good solution. This is like the time Mason claimed he bought us all
right.
lottery tickets.
Yeah.
And I said, all right, take a picture of him. And Mason goes, I burned him.
Yeah.
I burned him. Mace, if any of send me any Dora email before the end of this segment. Any Dora email, forward it to me.
Can you, Mace?
Okay. Yeah,
oh,
I can
there
forward
you go.
It. Okay. Before the end of this segment?
Yes. Bill, it's easy. Just do it right now.
Yeah.
You got it open. Just forward it to me.
No, I don't have it. Hang on. I got to log in.
There you go. See?
You do not have to log in. See, I'm right again.
Whoa. You caught him.
I know. It's brilliant, though. The whole bit was brilliant.
Wait a minute. No, I'm forwarding it to you right now.
Yeah, I think it's real.
Yeah, this is the forward.
Okay.
This Dora reminds me of Marianne Williamson, who ran for president. Remember her?
Oh, she does. Absolutely.
Yeah. Might be the same girl, same woman.
Wait, and that's a different woman than the one who said there were Jewish space lasers, right?
Marianne Williamson?
Is that the same one? No. That's who, Mace, who's the congresswoman from Georgia?
Oh, that's Marion Taylor Greene?
Yeah, she's the one that says that there's like Jewish space lasers or something.
Jeez.
Yeah, there's a bunch of nut jobs out there.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm forwarding to you right now.
Okay,
I've
got my email open, and I'm anxiously awaiting any one of the many emails you've received from Dora.
Okay.
And we'll see if this is real.
Hey, ask Dora, ask her a favor for me, will you?
Yes.
Ask her next time you guys talk or chat if Serena will ever win another major.
Well, I watched her today.
Yeah.
And I got the feeling, Michael, that she has played her last Australian Open.
Yeah, I mean, she is 39, and she cannot beat this Naomi girl.
This Naomi Osaka is fantastic, by
the
way.
Oh, yeah. She's like the young Serena. She's basically doing to Serena what Serena did to other girls on the court.
Yeah, she's playing Naomi's going to play a UCLA girl in the final. But
Jen Brady.
Yeah, but
Tom Brady's daughter.
It's not Tom Brady's daughter. Mom, isn't Jen,
wasn't she part of the Brady Bunch?
Yeah, Jen Brady. Yes, she was.
Jen Brady.
That's right. Jan Brady. Yeah. Jan Brady. J-A-N.
Yeah, you know.
Oh, my God. Mason just sent me the email. Hey. Well, now, yeah. I have no way of knowing if Mace wrote it himself.
Oh.
Because there
I'm
is
telling
no,
you, why are you doubting me?
Because
why
there's
would
no
I make
return.
This up?
There's no return email on here.
Huh.
Well, if you forwarded it, it would have. Yeah, but if you forwarded it, it would have the person's email on.
No,
it.
He just cut and pasted the actual body
oh,
of the
yeah.
email.
You're right. You're right. Then he's full of beans.
Oh, send Dora's email.
But
Mace, to
keep it up. I don't want to kill the bit. I think it's funny.
I'm telling you, it's for real. It's for real.
We'll send Ireland's Dora's email.
Oh, yeah, I'll send you her email.
Send it with her actual email address and the signature.
Okay, yeah, I'll definitely do that. All right, coming up next for you, it is a big night in Los Angeles. The Brooklyn Nets are in town. Stephen A. Has a take on exactly the one-on-one battle, this idea that it's Kyrie versus LeBron, and Max Kellerman on who he thinks this game is bigger for. We're getting into
right.
all of it. Plus, your phone calls, anybody that gets through on the phones today gets a Mason and Ireland t-shirt, 877-710-ESPN. Mason and Ireland, this is 710 ESPN.